Hey everybody, Stu Smith here with another Tactical Fitness Report, and Jeff Nichols and I are together again, and we are going to discuss some of the evolution of the gear that we use to train then and now, not only from a military gear that you get issued, how that has changed over the years, but also just our pre-military training gear. That we use from running shoes and, you know, other garments that we can go. So Jeff, good to see you again, buddy.
I appreciate it. It's good to be back. Yeah. Like I look at this and we look at like generations, right? And it's like not just the stuff we were issued at Buds, but things have changed. Like there's things that have been issued at Buds now that obviously we haven't necessarily used in that environment, like the current boots, for example, but we still have them. But it's interesting to see kind of how things have changed. I think like when you and I were kids, for example, like the variety of like baseball cleats that we had as children, like you had like three pair. Now you have like entire business or entire like apparel companies that are targeting children. Right.
Countless.
So like the same way you got swimming gear and all these sort of things that like, there's been an improvement in a lot of these things that like, and that's the idea is you're going to get issued what you get issued. Right. And there's an evolution of some of that gear, but like, what training gear is available to you now that makes training better, right?
All right, let's do that. Let's start from the feet up, right? And we'll play around in different domains as well, land and water. So boots. Back in my day, Jeff, dating myself a little bit, we had the old Vietnam era jungle boot that, the term breaking in a pair of boots really mattered.
Yep.
To that. Nowadays, they have actually gone through two different evolutions since then. They used the Bates for another 15, 20 years. Now they're using the Nike Combat Gen 2. And these latest models really don't need a lot of breaking in. I mean, they are literally air boots.
Yeah.
They are just so light. They're great running boots. The older boots, that I played in, and then I think we had to have airborne jump boots. Those things were like pure leather and heavy. Those things were
steel toed.
Yeah. Brutal.
Steel toed. It was like,
they were not fun running boots.
No.
And you had to break them in. Right. And you had to shine them. But so there's a whole list of things that you have to still have to shine them. But what is your take on that evolution? And do you think that it's been better, with fewer injuries resulting from better footwear?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think certainly foot health has probably improved because you have a little more forgiving boot. I think though the problem like really just goes to boots, right? That's why like I don't think you would either. You don't recommend your guys running in boots. Is you want them to experience the boot, but from a training standpoint, the boots aren't great now. But given the environment of selection, like it's not military feasible, and it's not feasible either to wear tennis shoes in the sand. So from what I can see with the Nike boots, they're great. It's just the boot, like when you look at a boot with a boot, right, the ankle is kind of forward lean to it, right, for load carriage. Well, anything that puts your ankle in an already plantar flex or dorsiflex position, it may limit it. So that just becomes the like, how do you lace it? That's a whole other sort of topic. But I think certainly boots, if you made a boot, let me just start with this. If you made a boot that was like the best, highest performing boot for sand, it'd be so limiting. You wouldn't be able to use it really anywhere else. Probably.
That is true.
It's like, if you had this really amazing, perfect running boot, it would be a shoe, that's the answer. But given what, given the stress of the environment now, like those boots are lasting, and if guys have good training go in, like the boots certainly going to be better than what we experienced. Although we had to do the jungle boots too in third phase. And I'll say once they're broken in, they're pretty amazing, honestly. So
yeah, it's kind of like, when I interviewed a lady that's a runner that runs a running store, and there's different types of shoes too. There's like a stability shoe. There's a more neutral shoe that, doesn't require, depending on how you pronate or supinate, you know, so I would say the older boots are definitely a stability boot. You know, they're really all about, you know, load bearing and ankle protection. I don't think there's ever been a Bud student with worse ankles than myself. I probably had 10 ankle sprains in both ankles before I went into Buds, between football and rugby and accidents. But I never sprained my ankle again when I was going through Buds. And you know, the only time I did was when I was wearing running shoes, you know, running in a place where I probably shouldn't have been running in shoes, like on a trail or something. So but we do run in boots here, but it's usually on the sand and it's on trails that we run, you know, just for stability, you know, and ankle protection. Cause unfortunately, you know, you see people running and, you know, especially if it's a thicker running shoe and you're running on a, you know, a trail lateral with
stability is wonky.
Oh my God.
That's been the evolution of footwear now. Cause that's what you see is like, if you can recall, or even just started thinking, maybe even thought about this, like, look at the NBA. No one really wears high tops anymore. Right. Look at the NFL. Same thing, unless you're a lineman, because we know now that it's the same idea. I remember 10 years ago, you go into Home Depot and everyone's wearing a belt. Now no one's wearing a belt. It's because the class action lawsuit was filed against Home Depot years back. All the employees saying, hey, this is contributing to more back pain because they were forced. They had to wear the belt. That was mandatory for Home Depot. Now they don't wear them because you start eliminating those, some of those stabilizing muscles. And so that's the thing, is like, you want to learn how to lace a boot at the foot, but not at the ankle too tight, because you start limiting that ankle, you're going to create a lot more issues, typically, especially in an unbalanced situation. But so that's the trade-off, is like, we do, it will provide some ankle protection or security, although it will limit stability and mobility a bit. But that's where good training comes in. If you have good training, resistance training, the boot is just a tool.
Sure.
You know, sure. it's just a better tool than it once was, probably. I think we can say that. We can agree. And that's like the same thing with fins, right? That evolution right there. Same idea, you know, like the duck feet to the rocket fins, and what we like to train in, and we recommend people trying, is the TYR fins. Really good footbed, but a very forgiving fin.
Yeah.
And as much spinning as the guys are going to do, it's like what we like. I love the duck feet. But if you've got the legs for them, the feet for them, same with the rocket fins, if you've got the legs and feet for them. It's like, I was looking like, it's like barefoot running. It's like, I didn't start off there. You got to work yourself into it. And I think fins are that same way. And now that there are different training fins, we can, that's the evolution, is it's not just like one super hard vulcanized rubber fin that just,
That's a really good point, because you can use these smaller fins, even slip-on fins is what we use too, you know, to progress up to the bigger scuba fin that requires more leg strength, you know, and hip strength, you know, to make those move. And if you come from a lifting background, most of those guys may not be very good at swimming a 500-yard swim without fins. But then they put on a big pair of scuba fins. I don't know if you noticed this in your Buds class, but like the guys that, like football players that really kind of sucked at 500-yard swim, you know, first day of Buds, they're at the front of the class, you know, when they put on the big scuba fins. I was like, damn, big old muscle legs. So that was impressive to see. So, yeah, I think with any of these, you know, footwear, let's go shoes and fins, you know, a progression into what you're going to do is the wise move. You know, you don't want to jump right into running in boots.
Agreed.
You know, 100% of the time, you know, I would say, you know, for my guys, we might run in boots 30-40% of the time. And it's usually related to the terrain that we're running on. Otherwise, you know, like today was a hill day, which is all pavement, just run in, a regular shoe like this. I love these
big
things.
Big fan. Yeah. These so, like, talk about evolution for a heavier guy like you and I, right? 200 ish pounds.
Yep.
They can cover some decent mileage because we have endurance. The ONs have been the most stable running shoe. I haven't got the Ultras yet. I haven't tried the Ultras yet, or Ultras, I think.
Yeah.
But again, that's the evolutions, because that goes to the next thing is like you start seeing, if you compare the Jungle Boot with the new Nike Gen 2, you see a much more forgiving ankle flexion point, sure. Right? And that's the thing too is with those shoes, you bet, right? And that's the thing with the ONs is like what we know now is like when that foot hits the ground, right, the toes have got to splay out, right? And that creates the arch. Right. But if the toes don't splay out, we get into pronation, supination. We create a lot of heel impact, right? That bottom of that heel and Achilles are starting to get really tired because that foot can't spread out.
Yep.
So it actually concaves it. Your toe and heel collapse towards each other. So,
yeah. You know, another indicator on that.
Like that. And I'm saying you have a good forefoot like the ON, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
You know, another good indicator on whether or not you need to refit your shoes is if you get toe blisters, right? If you get a lot of toe blisters in between your toes, you know, your toes are rubbing. I mean, that's why they're not able to spread out a little bit. So watch that. And sometimes that pinky toe and the one right next to it, you know, I see a lot of people get blisters. Yep. I'm like, you need a wider footwear.
Yeah. And also too, guys, like one of the things that I found out too is like, I didn't really think about it. It's like, I started fiddling with socks. Like I was wearing, and I like them. I really like the brand Darn Tough and Smart Wool. It's just with the nylon, man, like they can get real tight and they can bunch the toes even more. And like, when you start drying in the dryer, your nylon more and more, they get stiffer and stiffer and you lose that elasticity. So it's a natural thing to want to like get some tight fitting socks to eliminate friction. It's actually quite the opposite. We don't want the sock sliding, right? But we also don't want it to smash your toes, which I've gone to the finger toe socks now, and they're kind of a pain in the butt to get on, but I don't see myself going away from them. Like I just, for that reason, like they don't, when my feet get tired, they still will slide now. It's nice.
Yeah.
Like, cause when I get tired, I tend to ball my toes up and holding the shoe. And now I don't as much. So it's an experiment, and that just goes to evolution. Right. And like, I think the better the footwear we have too, the better the training impact we have with fins as well.
Sure.
A good tight fit. I think too is like a fin that's really tight in the forefoot guys also. Yeah. So it's like, if you have an in-between fin, don't size down, like stay in between up, like, and get some neoprene socks.
Yep.
They're way better. So that's kind
of
like, yeah,
instead of a really thick booty too, which can also constrict you.
You betcha. Yeah. So that's kind of been the evolution. I think that like, you know, like it's good. If you have the JetFins or Rocket, great. But I really would encourage you on the training side, pick another sort of swim fin, because you can, it's like, what's the difference between flat bench press and decline? Well, they're kind of the same, but they really do provide a good additional stimulus. Sure. So it's a good, I think variety is good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I swam in Mars Power Planer.
Yep.
Before I went to Buds, cause you know, I didn't have duck feet or, in fact, that's all they issued back then were the old duck feet, and you couldn't buy them anywhere. I mean, there was like, They made them for Buds. Like,
yeah.
Then that company went out of business, and now they go with the, Rocket fins. I think they may have some jet fins mixed in there. If you were to ask me which one's better, I prefer the jet fin over the rocket fin, just because they are a lot more pliable than the rocket fin. I mean, you really have to get in there and break those rocket fins in if you want to. No, not feel like you're swimming with like wood tied to your feet. So I tend to prefer the jet fin versus the, and I think they're made by two different companies. One's Aqualung, which is the jet fin, and the other one is, what's the other big scuba?
Is it Mars?
No, it's like scuba. It's like
Scuba Pro.
Scuba Pro. Yeah.
That's who it is. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong with either. But again, like that, the limiting factor of that fin is the booty.
Yeah.
Because you don't, if your heel is not inside of the shoe and boot, when you push your toe down, your hamstring doesn't fire as well because the heel is not stable. So Like that's always been that is why I want guys training in a full rut slip on, because the heel is the key for the glute. As soon as you remove that position of that port of the heel, where that fin doesn't, is it sloppy? Really, that there's a lot of give in there, and the glutes don't fire as well. So but that's a dive fin though. So that's the thing, is the rocket and jet fin, if you're submerged, you're not kicking as hard as you can like you would on the surface. So it's kind of, that's why I want guys training in a swim fin. And when you get to selection, you got the dive fin, right? That it is what it is. So,
that's a really good point. Cause when, I don't have a huge foot, I think I have a size 11, but my duck foot size was super extra large. They didn't get any bigger than that.
Yeah.
But I had a booty that was decent. And whenever my foot was in there, it wasn't all crammed up like that, but I had enough room in there and it covered my whole foot.
Yeah.
And it didn't rub against my, ankle issue. Yep. So it wasn't, wasn't too big. It was just right. It wasn't like half my toes are, half my foot sticking out of the fin. It wasn't like that, which you lose a lot of torque.
I was lucky. Mine was real lucky. I fit real well into the fins. I didn't, it was tough on the feet, like getting used to it. But, I in hindsight, I look at it and go like, I think that because we had to swim like our whole class, like we were like, because we were in a book, they kind of made us very like everyone had to wear UDT, and they kind of made it more of a traditional sort of old school class, I guess.
Yeah.
We all had to wear duck feet. We had one or two guys that had real big feet, like 15, 16s had to wear the jet fins or whatever. But man, I just remember how fast the duck feet really are. When you get used to them,
I liked them.
Jeez, man, they're fast. Yeah.
I liked them. But I will tell you this, once I was done with Buds, I did not use duck feet ever again.
No. Cause they're like, honestly too, like they're, man, when you're fucking sore and tired,
they're brutal.
Like, they're not easy to get on. Like they are fucking not. So anyways, like that's kind of been the evolution over time. And like, I don't know that there's much more evolution that can happen. I certainly with footwear, but again, it's kind of that, you can't make this really awesome running shoe and still make it a good military boot. Like
true.
But that's the thing, is like, when you get through Buds and selection and you get to the units, you'll be state. Like guys don't wear those boots. Like,
no, really. You're going to get issued 10 different pairs of boots that are 10 times better. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, I don't. And then you realize like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Like they'd have to standardize a boot for training, for safety. All like, it makes sense why you have to wear a boot in selection. Of course.
Sure.
You get out and you're like, oh, there's better options,
So, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. One thing is the, like you said, the evolution, it's turning into a running shoe. Versus a boot, it is, it still has some stability in it, but at the same time, it is so light, so forgiving. It's got to be better, compared to what the old one was. But those old ones last. I had a pair of jungle boots for over 20 years.
Yeah. That's the one thing I wish I had kept, man. Like I think, and that, I guess I didn't realize how this thing is when I went through Buds. I didn't realize, like, I put the baits on, I go out, you start going like week after week, you'd go through a pair of bait shoes, boots, like no kidding, in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like you would wear them down to like, there's no sole. And I just makes you realize like how much of like the foot shuffle and like how much the sand is corrosive and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
that's true.
But like I went through, 4 or 5 pairs of baits and Buds, and I only went through one pair of jungle boots. I didn't even wear them out. I broke them in, but anyways, like I think that's the big evolution. You can't have both. I think they made a decent boot.
Yeah, I would agree. I had to turn in my jungle boots after Hell Week though, because of all the low crawling. Right. The toes just
done.
I wouldn't have been able to shine through that. You know, it was just almost the hole went through it. Because you know, you do a lot of low crawling on concrete too. You know,
that's how I remember reminiscing a bit, like the demo pits. The most uncomfortable thing about all of that was the bear crawling. Like my knees at that point, you know, your knees are so swollen and that sucked. That because it's like there's no escape, but
The demo pits, the part for the demo pits for me was there was no hiding my chafing, right? And I don't know what's in that nasty ass water that's in the demo pits. I mean,
sewer from Tijuana.
I mean, it's disgusting. But it's also all the chemicals from the smoke grenades going on.
Oh, totally.
And I was on fire. But anyway, let's digress a little bit. So let's move up the body a little bit. Gone from footwear. What do you want to
say? Wetsuits is kind of like, I don't know exactly what wetsuit they're wearing. I just kind of want to throw that out there because like the wetsuit you guys are going to wear in selection, in terms of quality, comfort, and fit, they're not supposed to be comfortable and fit really. Like when you get in the teams, you'll get amazing wetsuits.
Yeah,
and
that's where you'll
experience, you guys will witness the evolution of wetsuits because you'll get like not a bad wetsuit. It's just you're not going to get fitted to you. And then you're going to be like, okay, diving sucks. You'll go through second phase with a shitty wetsuit and you'll go to SQT with a better wetsuit probably. And then you get to the teams, they're like, oh my God, like,
The measurements totally they took?
Oh, man.
Remember the measurement? It was like 80 different measurements on your body.
It was an ordeal. It was a real ordeal. But I still have some of my wetsuits and they're like, yes, they're outdated. But I mean, I have my tri-suit, my 2xU tri-suit, which is like, it's like a different, it's like a Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like if you watch the NFL, if you watch the NFL winter games, they're playing outside the winter, like a Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
Most all quarterbacks in the NFL wear 2xU wetsuits underneath their uniforms when it's cold.
Wow.
Smart. So that was one of the big things when I worked at 2xU years ago. That was the big outside of selling to triathletes. Like if you're run the Ironman, you're wearing a 2xU wetsuit, the best in the world.
Oh, sure.
But like, you know, I had like Jared Goff, like a whole bunch of players that wore the 2xU wetsuit. And like, I have one and I get why. It's a different material. I mean, it's super flexible, pliable, and it's breathable in some areas, believe it or not. You know, it's like not most people are going to spend $3,000 on a wetsuit though. So,
Here's a good piece of advice. When you do get fitted for your, buds, wetsuit, cause it's pretty much, you know, small, medium, large, and you know, they're going to give it to you, but try them on before you leave the where they're issuing and just make sure it actually fits you, because there's some issues with constriction up here. Like if you can't do this with your wetsuit, and if you do this, next thing you know, you're like
choking yourself out.
Yeah. You're like, can't breathe, or you feel the blood flows all of a sudden, like getting constricted.
Yeah.
That is a precursor, especially with the cold water and all the swimming that you're going to be doing in them, is for that site, thing. I know we've done a show on site, but that was a really good thing that you brought up that last time we talked about swimmer-induced pulmonary edema. That is something that can really screw you up at buds, and it's a downhill slope. Once you get that, it turns into pneumonia, and then it turns into a heat casualty, then it turns into rhabdo. I mean, it's
the beginning of the end.
It is a horrible journey once you get that. So if you can avoid the site, that is very important.
You bet. Yeah. So I think, you know, like we could go into goggles and things like that, but that's more of a, not goggles and masks haven't changed really at all. I mean, they've shaped a little better glass, a little more non-mirrored finishes and things like that, but goggle in that sense.
Yeah, I think they issue decor masks at buds. You know, it's got two glasses and a nose. So it, you know, it covers your whole face right here. You know, you won't ever use goggles at buds. You'll either use a mask or no mask.
Right.
You know, that is something that, yes, you unfortunately you need to train how to be a mouth breather when you are swimming, and that's not really a whole lot of fun. but That's just the way it is, you know. So having a mask prior to your training is actually a smart recommendation, I would say.
Yeah, experience that before. It's like, again, we do the same thing. Like we don't train in masks when we swim, but it's one of those things that once you can acquire a good breathing pattern without a mask, it's nice to put the mask on and learn how to mouth breathe without creating stress. Yep. And so that's like the big thing is learning. That's one of the first things we do is a lot of people just don't know that they're even breathing funny, you know? So yeah, that's been, you know, definitely the mask has improved over the time, a little more streamlined, but as far as the gear outside of that, you know, like there's been changes in knives and whatnot, but I think that what's really like the next sort of topic I think we'll talk about in the future is like the evolution of dietetics and training, right? How does that look different for us? You know, like how, as we, as consumers, how we've changed our eating, but also the availability of things like in nutrients, you know? So maybe that's the evolution of that too, is a good topic to have.
Yeah. That'd be a good one for next time we're on, for sure. Yep. Cause not only have, you know, my eating habits changed because of the different options that are available, but my eating habits have changed because I am older. Yep. As well, I'm not necessarily trying to put on weight anymore.
Right.
I'm trying to do just the opposite, you know, just, you know, have to, you know, no longer outworking my diet. I actually have to, you know, work out and, you know, watch my portion control. Yeah.
That is, it's a real thing, you know, and I think, but I think that also goes to evolution of training too, is, you know, there has to be an emotional state in which you have to realize that, like, it's like you just said, like that former football player gets done playing. Well, he probably shouldn't be eating in the same way that he did in the past, because the way he was training, the way he was consuming calories just changed. And like life goals should change too. And I think eating is habitual, right? Sure. We may totally think I'm going to change the way I'm training, and we do. But we forget to change the way we eat as well, because that training and goals. And before you know it, like, wait, it's like 6 months later, you put on this weight and you're like, oh, I didn't change the way I was. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. Eventually you can't eat like you're a hard gainer.
No, all your life,
because eventually one day you're going to be a hard loser.
That's it. Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, that is 100% happening. Like, but I kind of like it though. Like I don't have to train quite as hard to yield the same result that I would have to train so much harder when I was younger.
That is true.
That's kind of cool, you know? Yeah. So, and I think again, it goes along with the training stuff. And that's what we found out is like, it is the cliche, train smarter, not harder. And that's what we're looking at is like, you're seeing better training equipment get into actual selection.
Oh yeah.
And it's like you're starting to actually get to see the stuff we can train and practice with. No kidding. I get to use that in selection. Cause like you said, you couldn't find duck feet back then.
Yeah.
Right. That in itself is the evolution, is that all these candidates can get all this stuff before they even see it.
Yeah. In fact, there's a website I follow that, or I think they have a social media, and I'm skipping it. What I'll do is once I remember it, I'll put it in the description of this video. But they sell all of the equipment needed for whatever pipeline you are seeking, which I thought was kind of a great idea. You know, it's everything.
It's a real thing, man. Yeah, like you and I live it.
The Air Force issue gear, the Navy SEAL issue gear, you know, the Ranger issue gear, you know, whatever that is, they have access to those. You know, that equipment, which, you know, it's not cheap, but, you know, it is an option to your training to eventually, you know, have that extra gear. And then here's something that's kind of cool. That's not a horrible thing to do. It's borderline, I guess. You know, if you actually have been training in the same boots that you are issued, you know, you will actually beat them up. And, you know, have a good worn out pair of boots before you go. And if you need a new one, you can go turn those in and get a new pair. You know,
yeah. So, that's exactly what I did. When I checked into Buds, I got issued a pair and I bought a pair.
Yeah.
And then I just,
Then from then on, it's
recycled
like,
itself.
It's constantly,
it just recycled itself because it's like at that point you're like, you're still trying to kind of do things your own, and you're not, you still haven't been used to like the amount of gear gets issued to you when you start when you're successfully navigating the pipeline of buds. The amount of gear you get issued is like, not exaggerating, folks. When I got issued my SQT gear, like I had a Toyota Tacoma, I filled the bed up twice.
Damn.
And the cab just to drive it to my apartment in San Diego, like filled it up. And that was my initial loadout. And so that's like a small loadout compared to what you're going to get the teams. But so just,
I had a condo, and I had a, you know, one of the great room condos where you have a living room and dining room, kitchen kind of combo, and it filled up it. that whole thing, just spread out.
So I had two roommates, there's three of us in a condo in La Jolla, and we all got issued at the same time, and it was like a Friday, right? And so no kidding, like a storm came into San Diego. So I don't even mention this. My buddy and I got our wetsuits on, right? We went to La Jolla Cove.
Okay.
And the surf was huge, and I had the big flags out, no one in. My buddy was like, screw it, let's go, man. We went out to La Jolla Cove, man, and the lifeguards started like coming out and get us, and they wouldn't. They turned around there too. It was huge surf. Like, it was black. I was like, looking back, that was stupid. But we fully went into like the storm, man, and we were body surfing, like huge swells. But that was like part of the gear shoot, because you get all the stuff, and you're like, you like feel like a Navy SEAL finally, and you're putting everything on and trying it. And you're like, I got my wetsuit on. You're like, let's go use it. You know?
Yeah.
That was my time. Yeah.
Yeah. So. The gear's just going to keep getting better. I mean, not just only the gear that you use to train in, but the gear that you use to operate in is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's awesome.
It's a whole different, two different levels of generations that, you know, from what we had, you know, it's just
exactly
from the optics to, you know, you name it. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, all right,
again,
man.
Here's the idea, guys. If you guys have anyone listening that's like has other gear ideas, gear lists, stuff to go over and give us our thoughts, we'll do that too. I mean, really, you guys drive the content. What we do is we come up with questions that these topics kind of come from questions that come to us via email. So you guys drive the questions. We'll get to it.
Yeah, you guys check out performancefirstus.com. You get see what Jeff's doing over there. My side is stusmithfitness.com. Pick your poison.
Can't go wrong with you. Get this. So just to be on the record, right? It's like, which one do I use? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just find it. Find out what works for you. I tell people all the time, I have a way to train, not the only way to train. And it's a big world out there. Some people might need, a different version of training. And my recommendation for anybody, no matter what, journey you are on, is try several options just so you can find out what actually works for you. And you may need a different cycle that focuses on something else that, whatever.
And that's the evolution of training, guys. Like that really is, like, there is something to be said about you as an athlete choosing a coach that seems to speak to you, like that, though there's a programming or the way they are, like, go with it, man. Like, this is your choice, man. Like, and like, that's what Stu and I said, like, we do the same, you'll get to the same end state.
There you go.
All
right. So, oops. Until next time. We will do this again. Jeff, thanks so much for your time, and look forward to the next one.
You bet, Stu. Thanks.